From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of December 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Take a look at the agricultural energies with Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services. We'll hear more from yesterday's National Grain and Feed Association and U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. The USMCA looks like it's on track to be done in the U.S. Congress by the end of this year, maybe before Christmas. And we'll check in on this morning's USDA WASDE report and yesterday's weekly crop progress report as well on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
When Chicago futures finished, with the corn down 2.5 cents in the lead December at 363.25. March on out were higher at 377, up 1.25 for the March. The May at 382.75, a penny and a half higher. July up 2 at 388, and December of next year 391 up 2. January beans 4 higher at 901.25. The March at 915.5, up 3.75. July up 3.25 at 942, and November beans at 946.75, 2.75 higher. Bean oil up 9 cents. The bean meal up 20 cents. Wheat futures soft red up a penny at 529.75. Live cattle futures for the day down 30 at 119.87.5. The feeders at 141.65, 12.5 higher. And lean hogs finished at $60.47.5 in the lead, up 47.5 cents. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at this marketplace. Hey, Wayne, thanks for being with us today. We sure do appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure, Todd. It's always good to be here on Tuesday afternoon, and we generally would have something exciting to talk about after a government WASDE report, but it was pretty boring.
Yeah, so those numbers, you and I were talking just ahead of this, and only one number changed in the supply and demand tables for either corn or soybeans, and that was USDA dropped by 15 cents the average seasonal cash price for soybeans. Other than that, not one nickel's worth of change there. So I suppose the market took that in stride.
The joke afterwards was the biggest thing that changed on there was the date from 11 to 12 on it. It pretty much stayed in stride. We bounced down just a little bit, and then we bounced back about where we've been trading when we went in there. So, you know, a little bit of an update, a little bit of enthusiasm when I think Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal talked about that they were going to not put the tariffs on the 15th because the talks were going good enough to delay that a little bit and not throw a monkey wrench into that. So that was one of the good things as we look at. Also, Nancy Pelosi said the USMCA should get voted on next week, and they come to an agreement, so it should pass, and they thought the votes were there for that. So I guess two good things along the trade routes is what we're looking at that way.
So as you move further into this week, into next week, just trade going into the Christmas blahs?
Well, I think it's going to be somewhat slow trade. I think that we're going to be watching the weather in South America very closely. It looks like there could be a little more rain coming into parts of Brazil. But Argentina continues to show a little dryness for at least the next 10 days. So that we're going to continue to watch and see what does happen with China. You know, we looked at the world stocks that were out there. The increases all come in China for the increase in the ending world stocks. And that's sort of an unknown. We don't really know what they have or whatever, and they don't export anyhow. So really didn't change much there. We also did see CONAB come with their numbers, and they were below what the U.S. was estimating that they would be. So nothing damaging from that report. But generally, we'll see a little uptick into the Christmas time period here. You know, the Bears definitely had Thanksgiving, and we generally like to have the Bulls have Christmas. But we're going to have to find something new to really motivate this market to get much happening in it.
Did you make note of yesterday's weekly crop progress report and the North Dakota number?
I sure did. Those poor guys. I mean, and then I saw pictures from out there, and it says, can your combine go through 2 foot of snow? And, you know, it just that North Dakota is going to really be hurting. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the government and the USDA does in the January report how the corn is out there. Are they going to consider part of it lost, part of it not there? What are they going to do? Because we're definitely going to have some field losses in the Dakotas and Minnesota and parts of Wisconsin.
Yeah, they didn't gain much over the week. I can only imagine that was because they had a lot of snow. But not only North Dakota, and they're the ones that's farthest behind, but of course, Michigan and Wisconsin still lagging behind. And even Illinois, not completely done with harvest. Neither was Indiana this week.
No, I mean, we finished up most everything in our county around here. I can't think of a field. Well, I guess I do. There's one guy that isn't done till spring every year, but you know, and he makes more money renting out hunting space to people, so he leaves his corn standing for the deer to stay in his area. But you know, other than that, well, everybody around here is pretty well done. This weekend finished up most of the guys we're behind.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. In today's agricultural news, it looks like USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, will get done maybe before the end of the year. President Donald Trump made this announcement from the White House.
It's my great honor to announce that we have successfully completed negotiations on a brand new deal to terminate and replace NAFTA and the NAFTA trade agreements with an incredible new U.S. Mexico-Canada agreement called USMCA. It sort of just works. MCA.
If ratified by the three countries, the trade deal would fulfill one of President Trump's 2016 campaign promises. Stephanie Ho at the U.S. Department of Agriculture has more on what it will mean for farmers across the United States.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue is hailing news that an agreement has been reached between the Trump administration and congressional Democrats on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. In a statement, Secretary Perdue calls the deal a big win for American workers in the economy, and especially for farmers and ranchers. He adds that the USMCA will lay the foundation for a stronger farm economy. In a news conference, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi echoed those comments.
There is no question, of course, that this trade agreement is much better than NAFTA.
Both houses of Congress still have to ratify the deal. Secretary Perdue says he is encouraged by the breakthrough and is urging the House and Senate to pass USMCA by Christmas. The USMCA will advance interests in two of the most important markets for American food and agricultural products. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Again, as Stephanie Ho just reported, the U.S. trade deal still needs to be approved by the U.S. Congress. That's a straight up or down vote. And lawmakers in the other two countries, Canada and Mexico. The United States-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, or USMCA, would replace the North American Free Trade Agreement, which is a regional pact in place since 1994 that encompasses some $1.2 trillion in annual trade across the continent. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C., where the House Rules Committee today will take up some sweeping ag labor legislation ahead of a House floor vote scheduled for tomorrow. Two congressmen, one Democrat and one Republican, are spearheading the effort to revamp the H-2A visa program for agricultural guest workers, offering a path to legalization for farm laborers and setting up a mandatory e-verify system for farm employees nationwide. Now, the bill would help dairy farmers and other producers who need year-round labor by providing an additional 40,000 green cards for farm workers and granting three-year visas for workers in certain sectors. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue addressed this issue at yesterday's National Grain and Feed Association Country Elevator Conference in Indianapolis.
While the House bill does deal with the seasonality issue for dairy farmers, we're encouraged by that, but the pathway of a green card, the pathway to citizenship for those who are here illegally, I cannot support. I don't think the administration can support. I think the administration is interested in a legal guest worker program for those who are here illegally. A smooth way to enter into that program would be appropriate. And we'll have to see all the provisions that encompasses.
A couple of other items worth mentioning again, and you heard this comment yesterday from U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue, as it's related to the end of the week, December 15th tariff deadline on the trade deal with China. he's not sure what the chances look like.
No one really knows. I don't think the negotiators know what the end game is yet. And many times we never get to the end game until hours before the deadlines of these kind of things.
And finally, one other item from the Secretary's visit to the Grain and Feed Association's Country Elevator Conference yesterday in Indianapolis. Dana Cronin has more on the Trump administration's proposed changes to SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly referred to as food stamps.
The new rule makes it harder for states to waive a requirement that able-bodied adults without children work a certain number of hours to receive SNAP benefits. The Trump administration says the restriction encourages SNAP recipients to be more self-sufficient. During his visit, Perdue defended the rule, saying it, along with a strong job market, benefit the unemployed.
I've got hundreds of people here in the ag industry who would love to have employees. Everyone's looking for labor these days. What is the impediment?
Anti-hunger advocates say the new rule could hurt low-income individuals who have trouble finding steady work. State officials say the new rule could cut benefits to approximately 140,000 Illinoisans. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Public Media.
For its part, the Trump administration says the impact nationwide would be on roughly 688,000 individuals. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Don Day is traveling, but he was kind enough from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to leave us this update.
The Corn Belt, the Midwest, will continue to have plenty of wintry weather, although the current Arctic shot is going to ease up here over the next couple of days. Over the weekend and early next week, there's going to be more cold weather moving into the northern plains, the central, northern, and northwest Corn Belt, then moving across the Great Lakes and then across the east as a pretty active December pattern has developed across the United States. And it's going to continue here at least for the next week to 10 days. So expect it to be pretty cold at times across the Corn Belt and the Midwest. Now, we don't see any big or significant snows or major winter storms during this time frame. It's just going to be cold with the heavier snows affecting the Great Lakes, with lake effect snows and then moving into the upper Midwest and New England areas. We do expect that maybe we'll have a little bit of a warmer and drier trend here towards the end of the week, but it will be short-lived. Overseas, as we go to the Southern Hemisphere, going to continue to be drier than normal in Australia. That is a trend we're probably going to see for most of the summer down there. Although there is some rain in the forecast for parts of Australia next week, still expecting below average precipitation and warmer and drier than normal conditions. For South America, well, it's a little bit of a hodgepodge. We do have some wet areas in northern Argentina and southern and southeastern areas of Brazil, while central and southern Argentina and central Brazil look to be dry over the next week to 10 days with temperatures averaging close to normal in most areas, maybe a little bit above average with temperatures in portions of Argentina and portions of central Brazil.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture updated the weekly crop progress report. For us, just one item of real interest. It shows that just 92% of the corn crop has been harvested. Last week, that number was 89%. The rolling five-year average, by the way, is 100%. We do have updates from both Iowa and Minnesota.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending December 8, 2019. Harvest continued for select crops despite snow cover over much of Minnesota, dropping the number of days suitable for field work to 3.2 during the week. Field activities consisted of harvesting corn and sunflowers, along with minimal amounts of fall tillage and fertilizer application as conditions allowed. Corn harvested for grain reached 93%, just over 3 weeks behind the five-year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 20%. That's unchanged from the previous week. Sunflowers harvested reached 94% this week. That's over 3 weeks behind average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Iowa farmers had 4.5 days suitable for field work during the week ending December 8, 2019. However, snow and mud remained issues in parts of the state and delayed some field work. 95% of the corn for grain crop has been harvested, over 2 weeks behind last year and the five-year average. The Northeast and South Central districts were able to make enough progress to reach at least 90% complete. Farmers in all districts in Iowa have now completed at least 90% of their corn harvest for grain. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain remained at 19%. Livestock producers continued to use hay for supplemental feeding. Feedlots stayed muddy with warmer temperatures and snowmelt this past week. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
Here are some of the other states and their corn harvest progress. Here in Illinois, 96% of the crop has been shelled. That rolling five-year average is 100%. Indiana at 96%. Normally, they're 99% at this point. Kansas is done at 100%. I think they're number five in corn production. Nebraska at 98% complete at this point, and North Dakota at just 43% complete. The others that are behind sharply include Wisconsin at 74%, normally at 95%. Michigan also at 74% complete. It's normally at 96% harvested. And South Dakota is 83% harvested at this point. There is not a rolling five-year average for South Dakota corn harvest. Each Tuesday, we talk about the agricultural energies, and we're joined by Stephen Platt today. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Stephen. It's kind of a pretty day here. How about where you are?
Oh, it's starting to get a little sunshine, which in recent time has been rare.
Well, it is November, December, so I suppose that happens as we get into the change to winter. That's coming up pretty quickly. Are there any seasonals that you follow in the energy markets or things that happen regularly over the winter months that we should be aware of?
Well, certainly the nat gas is probably the one of the bigger things to watch in terms of climate and weather. The market here recently has been under a lot of pressure given the kind of moderate temps that we've seen, but also playing on the market has been the high production levels that we've seen take place here over the past year. That's led to stocks going back to pretty much normal levels after being down last year at this time by as much as 25% against the five-year averages. The heating oil is becoming less and less of a factor given the switch over to nat gas in many of the northeastern areas. Certainly driving is restricted during the winter as well. So that also has an impact as you in terms of the demand side.
Is there anything that you've been watching closely in the way of fundamentals across the planet, whether that be geopolitical or in other forms?
Well, we have seen a lot of news this past week. Certainly the OPEC meeting was really at the forefront in terms of market action. It did rally crude prices as much as $4 to $5 during the course of the week. And that certainly was the major focus, along with some of the inventory levels in the U.S. dropping as sharply as they did in crude last week. That OPEC meeting saw OPEC make a move of reducing their quotas by 500,000 barrels. But there's a lot of questions about that agreement. Once again, Saudi Arabia came to the rescue. They'll be basically taking on the majority of those cuts. a lot of them, because of the overcompliance we've seen, had already taken place, and they still have to address the overproduction of some producers, such as Iraq and Nigeria, who have yet to really meet their targets. Russia also is not showing any real move to cut their production as well. And I think there was an agreement to allow Russia to basically continue not to or won't be accounting for some of the natural gas liquids, which is basically produced along with their crude production. And some of those can be substituted for crude oil as well. So in many respects, I think this agreement is somewhat nebulous. Another factor that may have played a role in the Saudis' decision was the big IPO that they came out with last week, which will actually settle tomorrow, by which they did sell a 5% stake in Aramco. They had wanted to sell more at one point, but given the price levels that we were looking at on crude, did not. They're basically trying to diversify their economy out of crude into other areas to lower their dependence. Their budget deficit has been climbing given the fact that crude prices have been well below their targeted price of around $80, which they currently use to develop their budget plans. We're still looking at a rather sluggish world economy that is weighing on OECD, our Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development countries, which are the major industrial powers. They're looking at growth and demand pretty much flat, whereby the other countries outside the OECD are looking at modest growth, but not the kind of growth we've seen. So you are fighting an upside battle in terms of Saudi Arabia, trying to correct the imbalances that we've seen develop in this market over time. And I think they have a hard road ahead of them, particularly if the economy does not strengthen once we maybe see the Chinese trade dispute resolved.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today. We'll talk with you again in 2020.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. That's Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can find all of our agricultural programming there to listen to anytime you want, most of it in its entirety, including our Commodity Week program that's recorded on Thursday afternoons, and you can find it as a podcast as well. Look in your favorite podcast applications, including NPR One, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Music, and the Google Play Store. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.